This is the Centre for Independent Studies podcast, What You Need to Know About. And today we're joined by leading economists Warren Hogan and Robert Carling to talk about the true tax burden. Now, Robert, you're just about to publish a paper pointing out that while most people think about tax in terms of the main big ones, income tax, GST, and maybe corporate tax, we actually have over three levels of government, more than 100 types of taxes. Is that correct?
Well, that was the Henry Review's count back in 2010, I think it was, 115 perhaps was their count at that time. And I don't think it has gone down since then. I don't think any have been abolished since then. So we can assume it's at least as many still. And a lot of them are very small. I think about 90% of the revenue comes from 10 of them. But then you have this long, long tail of lesser ones. People tend to think about the most prominent ones, but there are actually a lot that businesses pay, but they pass them on to households, and households end up paying them in reality.
Yes. So when we try and estimate how much tax we pay, you say that the commonly cited measure is tax revenue as a percentage of GDP at market prices, which has been going up in recent years and is almost is likely to reach almost 30% in the 23-24 year. But you say that the measures like that and Tax Freedom Day, which indicates the point in the year when the economy stops working solely to pay taxes and has been occurring later, these measures are actually deficient in various ways, and that is a better way of measuring it.
Well, that's right. I mean, tax as a percentage of GDP is the most commonly used measure, and it's of some use for international comparisons, for example, and even time series analysis within Australia, making comparisons with past years. But can it be considered to be an average tax rate, because GDP is not a tax base, and GDP itself includes the influence of some taxation. So you're going around in circles to calculate tax as a percentage of something that it includes tax. So when you strip that out, it's clearly above 30%, 34%, something like that. And then when you focus on households, which, as I was saying, a lot of these smaller taxes are passed on, and payroll tax is in effect passed on to households and so on, then the average overall tax rate on household income is, I estimate, at least 35%, and probably higher than that.
That is a very heavy burden. And Robert and Warren have been very clear about the need for tax reform. Warren, what do you think that can be done initially to reform this situation to remove some of this burden?
Yeah, well, the big tax reforms we've seen in the last 40 years have tried to tidy up and get rid of some of these smaller taxes and increase the prominence of more efficient and better tax bases like the GST. And I think that's obviously got to be part of the way forward. But I'm not optimistic, unfortunately. We have no political capital or desire to actually execute major tax reform in the spirit of the Henry Review. I think that still remains the blueprint to this day. And I fear that we are only going to get to a point of serious tax reform in some sort of environment of economic and political crisis. The things that worry me that could lead us to that point are well known in the last year, and that is our heavy reliance on income taxes. And within that, our heavy reliance on personal income taxes, some of the highest reliance on personal income taxes of any advanced economy in the world. And then within that, the heavy reliance on the top 20% of income tax payers. So we've really got quite a heavy burden on the most productive in our society. Now, this isn't, of course, dismissing the need for equity and fairness, but we also got to make sure our tax system isn't creating problems within our economy. And I do fear that as our tax base, our effective tax base becomes more and more reliant on a smaller and smaller part of the economy, that it will have adverse effects. And I think that also has to be considered in terms of what the future for the economy looks like. And I think it's a future that looks very different to the last 30 years.
Yes, that's a dire future that's envisaged there. Robert points out in his paper that the previous government, the previous federal government, had put a ceiling on the federal tax revenue at 23.9% of GDP, but that's been now removed. Warren, do you think that there is any chance that the current federal government or future Labor governments will reinstate a ceiling and try and tamp down on this? And why not, if not?
I don't think they've shown any inclination to reduce the tax burden or to shrink the size of government. I think quite the opposite. I think they'll only do it out of political necessity. I do hold some hope that the coalition opposition will bring to the table in the next few years something that they were, this ceiling that we've seen in the past. But although I praise the Henry Tax Review, I must say that the other key sort of report that's been going on in this place for a long time is the Intergenerational Report. And Ken Henry was very integral to that. And I think that's been used as a bit of a Trojan horse for why we need bigger government in terms of demographic change and various things like that. And the Labor Party, of course, is all ears to this sort of thinking. The coalition, unfortunately, were all ears, and they, I think, are going to cost them politically, were part of this initial phase of bigger taxation of our economy in the couple of years leading up to the pandemic. And then, of course, it exploded in the pandemic. So, look, I think we're not going to see this ceiling brought back in by the Labor Party. I think there's this idea that the government needs to be bigger. And then, of course, we've got this other new feature, which is the NDIS, which is out of control. It's a combination of necessity and welfare to, middle and upper classes, and it's very inefficient. So it really is. I fear that the size of our government and the tax base that's coming through with this inflation is borderline out of control. It's growing by the day. And this inflation, of course, and we can look back in our history, into the 1970s, inflation is the great driver of rising, particularly income tax revenues. And we're seeing that happening now, and we saw that in the 1970s. So I'm quite pessimistic. As I said, I think we're going to have to wait for something quite severe to happen to really shake the political tree.
Yes. And Robert, to Warren's point about the political necessity perhaps driving this, you mentioned that the stage three income tax will only make make a small and temporary dent in total taxation. Do you feel that perhaps Labor thinks that that was just the political maneuver they needed to make and they can now sit pretty having done that, Robert?
Well, yes. I think it's the stage three tax cuts will be about 3% of total national state, federal and local taxation in 2024-25, the first year. So it will probably prevent us from climbing to another record next year, but then a bracket creep cuts in and we'll pull it up again in the later years. So there's nothing structural in the stage three tax cuts to prevent this inexorable growth of the tax burden over the years ahead. And I think that that's what the Albanese government probably wants. They will keep making small changes here and there like the, you know, the superannuation $3 million threshold and so on. They'll keep making small changes like that, which, you know, are incremental to the tax burden, rather than have any big bang reform. And this is you know, their way of financing the growth of government over time, as Warren said, as laid out in the intergenerational reports. Yeah. I think that's the politics of it.
So in summary, would it be fair to say they'll nibble around the edges with reforms that they think make them look good politically?
Yeah.
Do nothing to reduce the overall tax burden?
Yeah.
And it certainly sounds like from both of you, you're indicating there's no chance that they'll cut spending either.
Well, there are some hopes with the NDIS. They introduced the legislation last week to implement changes to the NDIS to try to achieve this 8% growth cap on NDIS expenditure, which is itself pretty high, let's face it. But they have a lot of work to do just to bring it down to 8%. So, but it remains to be seen whether the measures that they're proposing A, get through the parliament, and B, are sufficient to achieve their fairly modest objective. But apart from that, there's nothing going on at federal or state level. Curb the growth of government expenditure.
And if we can just close with you, Warren, you expressed a pessimistic view, so you probably agree with Robert's view that there is nothing else going on at the moment. What could be if there were a single lever to turn this around with the current government, what do you think that might be?
Well, the economic system is a system based on balance or equilibrium. And prior to the pandemic, we had some major changes in the world, which meant the one factor of bad economic management wasn't coming to the fore, and that's called inflation. Inflation is the way the economy fights back against bad economic policies, both monetary and fiscal. And unfortunately, I can't see this inflation going away easily. We may contain it as per the RBA's hopes of around 3%, but I can also see bursts of much higher inflation in the years ahead if we do not get our monetary and fiscal policies right, neither of which are anywhere near right. So this could be the big one, because we're seeing on the ground in our community the effects of inflation on the cost of living and the pain it puts onto everyday Australians. And I think this is the political breaking point. At the moment, there's a great complacency about this inflation. I think people still, most of the domestic economists, dismiss it as something that was just here for the pandemic and is going away. I don't, and I think this will be the trigger. I don't think it'll do it in this life of this government. But I think in the next 3 to 4 years, we're going to have a few more frights from inflation, which will bring some real questions on the right policy settings, including the size of our government and the tax burden on our community.
Thank you for that. We might return with another podcast in the future to tease out the inflation danger, because that's a fairly dire warning you've just given. But I sense that it's a realistic one as well. Warren and Robert, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks, Carlo.
We'll be back soon explaining what you need to know about the key developments in Australia.